Hello and welcome to Penalty Box Radio here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Justin Bradford, Glenn Blackwell, producer Kenny taking care of us behind the glass. And hey, happy holidays to you. It's a Christmas week show, so I can already preface it for you that it's going to be a little loopy.
It's going to be a little filled with a lot of Christmas cheer,
a lot of Christmas
if you
cheer.
Will.
We have a special guest in the studio that will join us in the next segment, Jonah Story, a good friend of PBR, has been with us for a long time, but he's been out in Arkansas, the University of Arkansas, with Arkansas Hockey. So in our tradition every week, it seems, we've been talking about other things other than the NHL as well, like high school hockey with Sam Fleming and MTSU with Abigail Martin. University of Tennessee hockey with Daniel Danena, and we're going to have Jonah join us. But, you know, the interesting thing is when you look at what the NHL season's been like, Glenn, the Predators have not lost since December 2nd. Granted, they haven't played since December 17th.
But it sounds really good.
riding a seven-game winning streak.
Now, that is true.
That is.
And sounds great.
Yes, yes, that is. And I mean, multiple games postponed now, as you all are very, very much
very aware.
There are not many teams that were actually in action leading up to the holiday break that the NHL does have. The next scheduled game for the Nashville Predators in Dallas, December 27th. And a road trip there before they're back on New Year's Day in Chicago. So the Dallas, Washington, Columbus, and it's curious to see what's going to go on with all that. There's been so much news that has just broken and things that have gone on that we're going to cover as well as a live reading of our tradition in honor and memory of Big Ben. I'll be doing a live reading of the Golden Girls' Twas the Night Before Christmas to close out the show tonight. We're also going to have our Festivus airing of grievances because, I mean, come on. And then plenty of questions that you all have asked us as well, too. So it's a hodgepodge, mishmash of a show. It's like you're going to be with family tonight. So if you need to step out and take a smoke break, feel free to do that. Then come back in, get your whiskey, and listen in.
But we don't encourage smoking on the show, Justin.
Cigars, cigarettes, I don't know, vaping, whatever. go with Cousin Eddie, whatever you need to do. Just get that eggnog. Very
yes,
nice.
Get the eggnog.
But let's look at the things that have happened most recently. Obviously, we all knew it was coming the past couple of days, but the NHL and the NHLPA announced that not just the Nashville Predators, but the National Hockey League players will not be participating in the upcoming Winter Olympics. Now, this came sooner than the deadline of January 10th that we all knew was coming up, but with the rise of cases and players going into COVID protocol and the potential of there being quarantines in China if they did test positive, this seemed like the scenario that made the most sense in order for there to be less disruption on the NHL season. Because when you look ahead into February, there was the shutdown between basically the 2nd and the 23rd of February. So 2.5 weeks, basically 3 weeks of a shutdown. And now the league is saying they're going to try to make up games during that time. And I'm like, well, great. My honeymoon's during that time. So
oh,
I'm going
to
potentially miss some games, but it's going to depend on arena availability too. But overall, Glenn, before I hand it over to you, the process behind this is not just because of there being a rise in positive cases without the NHL breakthrough cases, more of a what's going to happen to these players if they're over there and all of a sudden they have to quarantine, they're going to miss a lot of time. I mean, can you imagine, put yourself in a player's shoe, because they're the ones ultimately that made the decision, that all of a sudden it's February 17th and you test positive and you have to quarantine, you can't get back here, your team's in the midst of a run to push for the number one seed or to push for the playoffs as a wild card team. Say it's like what the Nashville Predators had to do because of last season to make that push. And you're an Olympic player, meaning you're really good, meaning you're really important to your team, and all of a sudden you have to stay overseas an extra week or two and potentially miss 3, 5, 7 games and what that could mean for your team. So the decision makes sense. It stinks for these players that obviously really wanted to go, and there were obviously going to be plenty of Nashville Predators that were going to go participate. So I hate it for those players and wish there was another opportunity to go, but it's just that's the way
it
is.
You do, and you hate it for the younger players that were probably going to get an opportunity to go for the first time. You do. Nobody wants to see that. I don't think anybody's celebrating that this isn't taking place, but I think that you really do have to understand the logistics behind the players in those situations. We touched on it last week. You have to see it further down in order for it to make sense. You cannot risk I mean, we're already talking about these games that have to be made up. Everything, there's been a kink thrown into pretty much every single team's schedule at some point or another. And you have to consider that, like you said, I mean, if you get stuck in a different country and you're not here and your team is counting, there's just so many possibilities of things that could possibly go wrong. I'm not saying that they're just, you know, it's all negative Nancy, but in reality, that's a possibility. And no team wants to put their players in that situation. And it makes perfect sense to me. I don't like it. I hate it for the players that were super excited about going. I hate the opportunities that are going to be missed. But, I mean, we're all living through almost 2 years of this, and everybody's just trying to navigate it the best they can. The league, the NHLPA is trying to navigate it the best they can. And that's all that we can ever ask them to do. They're looking out for the players, the organization, the team. They're just looking out for what's best for these teams, and we have to understand that. I know it's frustrating, but we have to understand it.
And now you have Hockey Canada, you know, Team USA, scrambling to figure out what's going to happen with this, whether you're taking players from the AHL, which that's going to be another thing. Well, the AHL teams will be like, well, what are you going to take our players away for? We don't have a break, kind of thing. Or even college teams as well, taking players there, where these college teams are pushing as well to make the Frozen Four. So no matter what, someone's going to suffer as a team because they didn't have a built-in break for the Olympics either. That's what's going to be the issue now, too, is you're going to have players that are going to want to go over because it's a chance to play for their country, but they're also going to have to deal with, are you okay with possibly being away from your family a little bit longer than you're originally scheduled for? Then there's also a look at some retired players, potentially, or maybe players that retired a little early, or maybe were playing in Europe, representing different countries. So it's going to be very interesting, too, to see what happens, especially when you see my big concern, and not really necessarily concern, it's more of a what's going to be interesting to see how it plays out, is you're going to have probably plenty of players from the KHL going. And so it's not going to be a level playing field, because when you have NHL players involved, it equals out the playing field overall, because then everyone's playing. You have a lot of guys that are playing in the top league in the world. Now you're going to have plenty of players from Russia that are going to be playing in the Olympics that are playing professional hockey in the KHL. So it's going to make it very interesting to see what happens there because, well, I'll go ahead and say this. It's not like the IOC cares. They've shown plenty of times that they don't give a rat's behind about a lot of stuff like this either. It's just my little errand of grievances before we get to that. but it's going to be very interesting to see what happens. I've seen plenty of fans clamoring for, well, let's get a World Cup of Hockey together. You can't just get a world tournament together in a snap of your fingers. It takes time to put those things together. I would love to see another World Cup of Hockey, and it be done right. I'd love to see that. I would still like to see a Team North America again, too, because that was kind of fun. Mm-hmm. But I'd love to see another World Cup of Hockey come together to where you're really getting a great tournament that happens that does not disrupt the NHL season. And I saw a couple tweets about it, and I know I've been on it before, too. I would love for hockey to be in the Summer Olympics.
Oh, I know.
And people are like, what? But it's a winter sport. Just because it's playing on ice doesn't mean it has to be played during the winter.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an indoor sport. You put it in the summer, it does not disrupt the league.
It doesn't disrupt the league, and then we get hockey in the summer.
There you go.
It's a win-win.
I like this.
I like it.
I know. It's never going to happen.
I know, but I like it.
Because that would mean basketball and hockey basically have to flip. And it ain't going to happen.
That's not going to happen.
But
one can dream.
Yeah, one can dream. But it's going to be curious to see how this is handled all the way through. And then we still have to figure out, you know, after Christmas, our team's going to be going back. Will they be going back? And I have a feeling that this is not the last we've seen of postponed games. I mean, I would be willing to bet, even though I'm not a betting man, that this is not the last we've seen of postponed games.
And
I mean,
Absolutely not.
I mean, multiple teams have more than five games to make up. And you think of the schedule overall. I mean, the Predators have five.
Mm-hmm.
Other teams have six. More are going to keep coming after that as well. And then you look at the schedule. Some of these teams share really busy arenas. They share it with NBA.
Yep.
They'll share it with concerts and everything, too.
Yeah, that is one thing I've always been fascinated with, is how logistically these arenas, the league schedule these games. It's unbelievable to me. I know there's a lot that goes back into it. There's a lot of systems into play that are probably, you know, there's a lot of computer systems probably. But when you think about logistics, that's a lot. It's a lot to ask, and it's overwhelming.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to do it myself.
Now, when we look at Bridgestone Arena, It does have some availability throughout February, so we'll see what happens there, because I'm sure some of those games are going to be popped in there as well in the month of February. But then again, you're going to have some arenas that they filled up those dates because they're available. Yep. And some of those days have been filled with concerts. And even there was a concert that was postponed has already been filled with another concert at Bridgestone Arena.
Because they already did this at the first of the season, trying to make sure that everything, and then, but you just never know.
Yeah, you never know. But other than that, the Nashville Predators, looking at the standings and everything, with a seven-game win streak, and for instance, if we were just going to take points percentage, because that's what a lot of things have been determined upon with postponed games, points percentage, the Nashville Predators would be third in the Western Conference.
That is not a bad place to be sitting.
Who had that 30 games into the season?
Not I.
Not me. I definitely didn't. Everybody knows that I didn't, and this has been a complete pleasant surprise.
We had proof that you and I, neither one of us thought that.
No.
We said it on the radio.
The only people that did would have that blind optimism in a good way that they just truly believe, and they believe every season that it goes in. We're trying to look at it a little bit differently, but it's been a pleasant surprise because of what's happened, and even through injuries and even through guys missing games because of COVID protocol, they found ways to win. I mean, they have found ways to win. You've had goaltender Eustace Saros doing a fantastic job, but the Nashville Predators third overall in points percentage in the Western Conference at 39 points, and that's just one behind Minnesota for number one overall. I mean, we are closely approaching halfway through the season, and that's where you'd kind of look at the mark, right? Typically, because if these games had not been postponed, they would finish the month with close to, 38 games played? So that would give you that mark of, okay, this team's actually good. Not necessarily say they're a Stanley Cup contender, but they're good.
Yeah.
They're a good
team. I think we both had them kind of hovering, you know, maybe around 500. Around 500.
A little bit lower. So, okay. Coming up, let's talk more college hockey. You have Jonah Story joining us next to talk some Arkansas hockey. Woo pig suey. Coming up next on Penalty Box Radio, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Sexy back, yeah. The mother boys don't know how to act, yeah. I think it's special what's behind your back, yeah. So turn around and I'll pick up the slack, yeah. Take it to the bridge. Dirty babe. And welcome back to Penalty Box Radio, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Justin Bradford, Glenn Blackwell, producer Kenny. We're joined now in studio by Jonah Story.
This is Jonah Story, not Bruno Mars, but Silk Sonic, amazing.
Just ready to jump right in. Jonah was with us for such a long time. Then he graduated from Columbia State. I mean, then he went over to the University of Arkansas.
The University of Arkansas.
That's not what you were saying it before.
I'm going to need you to say it like you said before we got on air.
Yeah.
There's a Chris Stapleton song that's called Arkansas. And it goes, you got to get down. You got to get down to the Arkansas.
There you go.
Well, bringing sexy back. But Jonah has done a fantastic job with Penalty Box Radio, doing play-by-play, color commentary, camera operations, much to his chagrin, but doing so much work for us. And he's been out at Arkansas and doing a lot of things with the University of Arkansas hockey program, which right now in ACHA Men's Division III is number four in the country. That's pretty impressive. They jumped from 8 to 4 overall in terms of the ranking. It's a good program that Arkansas has. I mean, they when they're part of the Southeastern Collegiate Hockey Conference, they've won multiple conference championships. And in terms of the players that they have in that squad, I mean, there are two players that have over 30 points in 17 or less games.
And those two players are Zach Wilson and Griffin Sugasawara. Great guys.
Yeah, so let's just discuss this right now. How good is this program? And some of those, I recognize those names, especially Griffin's been there for a while too, and knows how to put up points.
Awesome.
How good is this team?
Well, this team is a really good team. They just happen to play some of their competition that they play at home just does not match up to their skill level. There are some teams that will play them pretty close. Missouri State will play them pretty close as they've went on some tilts with them. But most of the teams that walk into the Jones Center in Springdale, Arkansas, where the Arkansas Razorbacks play, just a quick little plug, they just outmatch them.
I mean, and you see, so for those that don't know, a lot of the teams that Arkansas is playing now are either current Big 12 or former Big 12 football teams, like Nebraska, Kansas, Missouri, Iowa State, teams like that. So there's plenty of travel that's going on over there.
And Jonah, we talked to Danielle Janina about this, about her experience at UT. We often talk about the atmosphere at college hockey games, and we've been talking about this for over a decade now, when we started going to Alabama for games. So it's one of those things that it differs so much from an NHL game. Not that one is better than the other, but there is a very, very unique experience at college hockey games that unless you go, you really don't get it, you know? And so we talk about it often on the show. So I want to know what the experience is like in Arkansas. What is that in-game experience like? And how does that useful, energetic atmosphere help grow the game in a state that is not represented by, you know, by a professional team like it is in Nashville?
You know, it's really funny. You'll see a lot of different people at these games. One of my favorite families that comes is this family, and it's this mother, and she brings her two boys, and the two boys are very in tune with the team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they are honorary Razorbacks. Her youngest son dressed up like Josip Dacinka, the goaltender for Halloween, and
that's
so
cute.
It's a family environment, and it's also a college environment. So it's the blending of the worlds. It can be for your family of four, and it can be for you and your buddies going out.
I love that. So we were talking before we got on the air about chants, all the fun experience, because we were talking about the Thomas Bokun who was on the show right before us. So are there any traditions that you've picked up on that you notice that fans are kind of in on, that people kind of, they come in for the first time and they're like, wait, what is going on? And then by the next game, they're in on it as well.
I would like to say calling the Hogs at a University of Arkansas hockey game. If you're a regular Arkansas fan, you're used to going, ooh, pig, suey, Razorbacks, you know, at a football game or a basketball game. But the first time it happens at a hockey game, people are like, whoa, we calling the Hogs out here? Like,
I love how he's so reserved right now, but when we're not actually live,
it's wild. It's night and day difference, guys.
I feel like he should put on a sweater vest and just like calmly sit down and talk to me in class like he's a TA.
Shout out to the boy Bryce.
I don't understand what's happening right now with Jonah, because I know he's so much
energy. I
wish
I could have seen him half an hour ago.
You know, before he has to go to the bathroom in the break. I don't know.
Oh,
jeez.
Man, all my friends are gonna be like, yeah, I bet he had to go. But but like, seriously though, it's amazing because they will get into it just like they will a football game. Just the power, just the emotion. When the team is ahead 17-4 and they're still just yelling, it's beautiful.
That's so fun. They don't die down, even when they're doing what... Yeah, that's fun.
I was waiting for you to say, we stay hungry, we devour. I was waiting for you to get into some rock song.
Put in the work, put in the hours. Take what's ours.
I was just waiting for that. Waiting for that right there. So just, I mean, looking at the schedule for Arkansas, too, I mean, like you said, they've been pretty dominant. I think, what, two losses on the season so far? One of them with an empty net... Yeah, 4-1 loss to Oklahoma, D1 team, and then a 3-2 loss to Missouri State. Other than that, they've been winning games. And like you said, there was that 17-1 win, a 10-4 win. They closed out the semester with an 8-4 win against Missouri, and they only have a few games, like 3 weekends left of games before the playoffs for their conference. What are the expectations? I mean, when a team is this good, is it championship or bust?
It is championship or bust. Last year, they got all the way to the end, but they lost. And, you know, on our broadcast, we always say it once every broadcast, or sometimes twice, that they were the runner-up for the ACHA National Championship. And on that road, they had to go and beat Michigan's club team. And Michigan's club team is still good. You know, it's made up of a lot of guys who just didn't make that D1 roster. And the fact that they beat Michigan's club team was big. And so they're going to have to keep this up and still ride that momentum and push farther.
So just before we have to go and move on to the next thing, just Arkansas, especially if you're over in Arkansas, make sure you hit up one of these games. I mean, the team is good, and they've been good for a long period of time. Yes, you want to interject me, Jonah.
Yes, and if you are in Arkansas, they play at the Jones Center, which is in Springdale, Arkansas, which is about 15 minutes outside of Fayetteville, Arkansas.
That's fantastic. Thank you. The team has won the playoff tournament for their conference, which was the SECHC before joining the Matcha, in 2010, 2011, 2013, 14, 15, and 18. And they won the regular season championship in 2010, 11, 12, 13, 14, and 18 as well. I mean, it's a darn good team. It's worthy of you going to watch them out there, and especially if they're going to be someplace where you're at. If you're streaming this, because they don't come to Nashville that often now, then make sure to go catch them play. They have some really good, talented players out there as well, and it's a lot of fun to go and watch Arkansas play because they're such a good team, and they continue to be a powerhouse in club college hockey. Well, Jonah, thanks for joining us. You're going to stay with us now the rest of the program. Up next, let's bring on the airing of grievances. It's the Penalty Box Radio Festivus Celebration here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
How you doing, young lady? The feeling that you're giving really drives me crazy. You don't have a play about the choke. I was at a loss of words first time that we spoke.
You're looking for a girl that'll treat you right. You're looking for it in the daytime with the light.
You might be the type if I play my cards right. I'll find out by the end of the night.
You expect me to just let you hit it, but we'll still respect
you. Welcome back to Penalty Box Radio. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Justin Bradford, Glenn Blackwell, producer Kenny. Kenny is feeling on that one.
Come on, man.
Oh, yeah.
Promiscuous girl, you already know.
Oh, I do know. That's Jonah, by the way.
Welcome to the show, Jonah.
There you go, my man. Got some tough love over the break, and now he's getting it.
Justin Bradford, Glenn Blackwell, Jonah Story joining us. And welcome to our Festivus celebration. It is time for our airing of grievances because y'all have done a lot to piss everybody off. And we're going to tell you about it. So I'm going to first go over to Glenn.
Oh, I'm going to start it
off. You're going to kick it off, Glenn, before okay. We get to some of our submissions.
All right, I'm going to go with something funny at first.
Okay, at first.
Because I will have something heartfelt, I'm sure.
Okay.
We've got to stop with the let's go.
Let's go.
It's got to stop. I'm pretty sure that it started with Tom Brady yelling this during a football game, which... perfectly acceptable.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, this is where this phrase should live. It's not for like you're going out with your buddies and you like fill your tank up with gas and you're like, car's full, let's go. It's not for that. It's not. We've got it. It's just got to stop. It's everywhere.
Got everything on my grocery list. Let's go.
Let's go.
Made it down the stairs without falling. Let's go.
Emily in Paris season 2 starts tonight on Netflix. Let's go. It's not. It's just got to stop.
Are you John Wall?
So, I mean, okay. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
We got to wrap that one up on 2021 and let it stay
okay,
here.
Wrap it up and just, you know, throw it away.
Yep.
Put it in a capsule. All right. This one comes from Boyd. Goalie interference and offside reviews takes forever and the most minute, inconclusive evidence overturns otherwise good goals. That's a grievance.
Yeah. I like that, Boyd.
That's a good one. This one comes from Hunter. Hello, my hockey grievance is as follows. Ben Harper.
Oh, now that's a burn.
Okay, this one comes from Dennis. If any goalie gets any contact, they fall to the ice like they have a major injury. Meanwhile, every other player is constantly getting slammed into the boards and skating away like nothing happened. Whew. I mean, you know, if there's any goalie to talk about here, it's Jonathan Quick.
This is true.
Dude is going for an award every time.
Yep, this is very true.
Every single time. Jonah, what's your grievance?
You know what my grievance is? If anybody watched Ole Miss football this year.
Oh, boy.
They just, when their players would, when the team needed a break and they didn't have timeouts, And be like, oh, guys, injury right now. Just fall out. No reason. Just fall out. I got you. And like, we don't need to be doing this. Nobody wanted that.
This is very specific.
Also, another grievance.
Oh boy.
Tennessee football fans. I know it's a little old, but y'all, I'm happy y'all got in the bowl. That's awesome. But you don't need to throw bottles or mustard or anything. And if it gets bad at the Music City Bowl, don't throw anything. Just keep it to yourself.
Please don't throw Boilermakers at people.
Yes. Ow. Yeah.
Keep it to yourself. Like, we ain't got to throw stuff out here.
I can almost hear the feathers ruffling.
Yeah, he's got to throw stuff. Like, I didn't know I had to write that one down or say it on live radio, but we don't have to throw things.
No, we don't.
There we go.
Because they hurt.
This one comes from Gina. Honestly, it costs over $200 to take a family of four to a hockey game, tickets, parking, and food. I know times have changed, but 300-level tickets were $17 in 2005. Now they're $65. That's not something most families can do regularly. That's a good point.
That's a very good point.
Very good point.
Yep. And I think about myself just as a single person who's only paying for one. But when you triple, quadruple that, go into a few games a week if you're trying to get out, that adds up.
I know. And
that's not a lot.
It's not to poo-poo on downtown Nashville, but
it's not at all. But it's not just local the reality that it's either. Not local friendly. Exactly.
It's not local friendly because when you just look at the parking options, and this is, I can bag on the parking options then. Mm-hmm. It is crap.
The lack of options.
The lack of options for parking and how much you have to pay.
Yeah.
Going downtown for a concert that was not at Bridgestone Arena, it was at the Skirmerhorn.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to find a parking space, and there was something going on at Bridgestone. So Music City Center, shut up, Jonah. Music City Center is already packed. But then trying to find a parking spot near to the Skirmerhorn, some of those garages were charging $45.
Mm-hmm.
But if you ate at a certain restaurant, it would only be $15. Like, okay, come on.
Yeah.
Come on. I understand we're a tourist town. We are, and that's how we're paying for things that don't affect any locals because we can't even get freaking sidewalks in the suburbs. But I understand we're a tourist town, but come on. Some options would be nice to cater to locals a little bit because we live here too. We pay taxes. We live here. We want to support local restaurants and local establishments just as much as tourists do. So make it a little more friendly for us. We'll be more than happy to oblige to come and give you our business.
You know, I got another one.
Okay.
You know, going to Arkansas, my friends will be like, well, bro, spring break. Are you down to go to Nashville?
Oh, God.
And I'll be like, I mean, what's your idea? We're going to go to Broadway. And I'm like, You guys have a great time.
You're like, I'll be in Columbia.
Like, I'll be
have
in Columbia.
Have a good time.
You know, one of my grievances is that people will come here and they'll spend all their money at these places that aren't local places. They aren't, local things to do. And me as a local, I'm out here like, oh, hey, man, if you want to catch a show at Zany's, I'll go with you. If you want to eat at, Prince's, I'll go with you. I don't want to go do your tourist thing. You know what I mean?
But you're from here, so I understand that.
Yeah.
If people aren't from here, I get why they want to go. So I won't hate them on that. But it is funny because as a local, you're looking at them like, no.
Well, no, it's so true because I had someone recently reach out to me that I went to high school with, a friend of mine, and she was going to be coming up to Nashville for the first time last weekend.
Oh, wow.
And they were going to be going to the Ryman Show, Amy Grant and Vince Gill, yeah, great. Yeah. And so when I was giving suggestions, she wanted a bar that they could catch just local, like authentic country music. And my first thought was, well, steer them away from Broadway. But then I'm like, well, this is her first time in Nashville.
They
need to go to Robert's Western World, which they did, and they loved it because that's authentic country music. But my brain naturally went, keep them away from Broadway. Where can I tell them to go? And then I'm like, well, they can't come to Nashville for the first time and not go to Broadway.
Right,
so
right, right. No,
it's a local state of mind.
Yeah, it is. It definitely is. We have that battle going on. Okay, this one comes from Alex. The grievance is Colton Sisson scored. Ooh, too soon. That's still too soon.
Oh.
That's still too soon.
Oh, you're going to get Peyton Turnage to appear saying that.
Well, no, we do have one from Peyton Turnage.
Of course.
This is actually a very fair one, and I'm going to, Peyton's really angry here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm angry that not only are NHL players not participating in the Winter Olympics, but we won't even know who made the rosters, a debate that's been ongoing for the past year and a half. That is very true, because people have been putting out articles and videos and tweets and everything about who should be on these rosters for every country, and now...
That's valid, Peyton. That's valid. That's very true.
That is very true. I mean, if these countries would be like, hey, by the way, this is who we made up for our team. This is who would have made it. But that would be, I think that would be fine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Please do that.
Yeah.
I'd love it for countries to do, especially when you look at certain ones that the U.S., Canada, because especially Canada is obviously extremely competitive on who's even going to be like an alternate, because an alternate for Team Canada is still a star player. That's what's crazy. Even the U.S. now. Who would make it for Sweden, Finland, because it would have been really cool, because pretty sure Jussi Saros would have been a huge star for Team Finland. No doubt about that. And Mikael Granlund, I'm sure, as well. And then for Sweden, Mattias Ekholm, no doubt, would have been a top player on that team. So that is very, very frustrating to not have those things happening. So here's mine. Or one of mine. Who knows? I can go on a rant at any moment. You know, you guys know that. I created it, and I hate the monster that I've created, which is the Natural Predators Facebook group. Dear God, people, there are 30,000 people in there, and they find the most trivial things to argue about that won't even have to do with hockey. It'll have to do with how people are living their lives, or it'll have to do with politics, and they'll drag it on in there, anything like that. And then they'll argue, and there'll be a post of 80 some odd comments, and then someone will come at me and be like, why aren't you monitoring all this? Bro, it's not my job. If you want to pay me enough salary to be able to monitor a Facebook group, I will be more than happy to do that, but I guarantee you're not going to get a GoFundMe enough that's going to match the salary I'm making my day job right now. Ain't going to be enough. So you know what you do is you can report it, and you can wait and see what happens. And then in Facebook groups, you have people that are reporting stuff that are not breaking any rules. They just didn't like what the person said. And all of a sudden, they'll report it. You know what? You're suspended too. The option that I love the most in managing a Facebook group is that mute tool. That suspension tool. Good. And it's so good. Because then other admins can see it as well. They're like, oh, what happened? Then you'd be like, they spat it off at the mouth. That's what they did. And now they're breaking the rules. And then we'll get a message of, hey, so I can't make any comments or post anything in the group. Well, maybe you should have followed the rules, Johnny. Maybe follow the rules. You'll be able to talk. But no, you don't want to follow the rules. Very simple rules. Don't attack each other. Keep it about hockey.
And then the worst is those people be like, what do they even do? And it's like, how do you not know?
You should know. You should know.
You should know.
Like, don't come asking why you got muted and act like, oh, it's such a surprise because you're trolling.
Yeah. And that actually kind of leads into something serious that has been heavy on my heart for, you know, a couple of years now. We are all doing the best that we can. We're all exhausted of this pandemic, no matter what your political party is, what you think about vaccinations. We've all been in this together for nearly 2 years. The last thing that any human being needs throughout a shared traumatic experience like this pandemic is another human being shaming them while they're experiencing that same experience. Be kind to people. If you see something on social media that you don't like, scroll past it. Don't carry the weight of what you see. Scroll past it. You do not have to say anything. You don't have to say anything at all. So just be kind. If you do say something, be kind. Because, I mean, we're all experiencing this weight, and oftentimes we'll go to social media as an escape, and then we're presented with this stuff and bombarded with it during our escape. Just be a light to people around you. Be a light online. And if you don't have anything to say that is kind, just be quiet. Because we're all exhausted, and I think all of us can say we're exhausted from trying to escape from this reality and then trying to go enjoy something and then it being ruined by somebody like that. So just be kind.
That's why I go to movies.
Mm-hmm.
To escape.
Good, yeah.
But very, very well said, Glenn. And with that, that was our Festivus airing of grievances.
Feels
Thank
good,
you so much
right?
for participating. It does feel good. It does feel good. Okay. Up next, we have some questions that came in over Twitter, and then a live reading of The Golden Girls, Twas the Night Before Christmas. That's coming up. Penalty Box here to ESPN 102.5 The Game. And welcome back to Penalty Box Radio, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Justin Bradford, Glenn Blackwell, producer Kenny, taking care of us as always. Jonah Storer joining us in the studio. And before we get on with it, just want to take a moment to congratulate Ryan Porth. He's been here so long at 102.5 The Game, and he's moving on after 9.5 years here. He's moving to Chicago to join 670 The Score, so huge for him. But just we appreciate so much he's done for us and has come to bat for us and has supported us so much and been a huge help. And I've just enjoyed my time on the air with him with Preds Insiders, and I appreciate him giving me so many opportunities to work here at the studio as well. But he's been a big supporter of Penalty Box Radio. And so just wishing Ryan Porth all the very best in your next adventure. You did so much here at 102.5 The Game, and we cannot thank you enough for everything you have done for us, Mr. Porth. And thank you. All right. Let's move on to our questions here. This one comes from Jonathan. Is it me, or does it feel like the Preds no longer have a major rival? Even Chicago and Dallas feel like ho-hum games because we've trounced them so much in the past couple of years. COVID year scheduling also kind of wore us out on them. Or do we still have a legit rival team? I think things go in waves. They go in waves. I think right now when you look at your rivals, Chicago is still going to be a rival just because there's still hatred. Whenever there, you see the Predators are playing Chicago in the Facebook groups and stuff like that, there's still so many more posts about hating Chicago. It's just they're there. Dallas, you see that as well too. And then even the Ducks. I mean, there's still a rivalry with the Ducks. That's for sure. So I feel that. And it's been weird the past two seasons, for sure. But I still think those are still the rival teams for the Preds.
I absolutely agree with that. I was going to say Anaheim, I still feel that one very strongly. And I still feel it from the fan base for Chicago more specifically. But yeah, it's the last couple of years, it's hard to have felt anything that felt like it used to. But
right.
I think those rivalries definitely still exist. I think it's just felt different.
Absolutely. Okay, this one comes from Johnny. I want to ask Jonah this one. Favorite sports-related gift you've ever received for Christmas?
My favorite one for Christmas would have to be getting autographed Predators tickets with Pekka Rinne's signature on them.
Ooh.
And they would have been the second round if the National Predators would have made it to the second round that year.
Okay.
And I love that gift, and I believe I also have some Ryan Suter signed tickets as well, and I really enjoy the signed tickets because they were in gold, and it was when they were slowly introducing the gold, and so that was something really cool to see.
All right, this one comes from Jack. Love these ones. Which Christmas song would be better to track over an intense action movie fight scene? Rocking Around the Christmas Tree by Brenda Lee or Cool Yule by Louis Armstrong? Glenn?
I'm going to go with Cool Yule. There's horns in Rocking Around the Christmas Tree, too.
There are.
But the horns in that and just the name itself, Cool Yule going over the action. I mean, that's my pick.
I agree, because I feel like they could almost do a slow version of that exact song, slow it down a little bit, and it's going to be great for action sequences. We even saw, this is not a spoiler, but the Hawkeye series on Disney+, they even put Christmas songs over because it's taking place during Christmas. So you had action sequences taking place during Christmas songs.
Okay.
It was pretty cool, but I agree. Cool Yule by Louis Armstrong. This next one is from Peyton. Who's worse, Krampus or John Jensen? Definitely John Jensen. Courtney.
I'm not going to do John dirty like that, and I'm going to say Krampus because he's scary.
Okay, whatever, but so is John.
You're welcome,
John's
John.
Randomly mean to me, and I don't know why.
I got your back, John.
This one comes from Courtney. I'll do this one really quick just because it's probably more targeted towards me. From Courtney, Marvel Cinematic Universe counterparts for Preds players, who's who? So I'm going to go Roman Yossi is Thor because he can like do everything. Everything. And then for Doctor Strange, I'm going to go Philip Forsberg because he is a wizard with the puck. And Doctor Strange is a sorcerer. And then Iron Man, because of wit and humor, Ryan Johansson. I mean, the clapbacks that Iron Man would have, Robert Downey Jr. and his character playing that, Ryan Johansson totally, totally fits that mold.
Ryan Johansson's contract.
I'm nodding my head like I understand any of these characters.
Billionaire playboy status. That's what Iron Man calls himself. So that's a good question, though. I want to explore that further. This one comes from Robert. Upon your second viewing of No Way Home, Spider-Man, was there a spoon on the wall? The reason there's this question here, and this is not a spoiler again, but we get to see the character of Ned, his grandmother's apartment. Well, Ned is Filipino. And so Ned's mother or grandmother is speaking Tagalog, which is a Filipino native language there. And it's the first time we really see Tagalog being spoken in the Marvel Universe. But the big thing is Filipina grandmothers typically have a wooden spoon and fork on the wall of the kitchen to signify time for eating. I know plenty of other cultures do that as well, but it is a thing. It is a big thing in Filipino culture. And yes, there is one. So you had to look hard in the back. So somebody... Somebody
is it just
on that
hanging
production.
Or is it stuck on there?
It's hanging. Okay. It's hanging on the wall. Okay. But somebody on the production team, because of the decoration in there, definitely new Filipino culture, which is very much awesome. Okay, this one comes from now. Let's see. Going to... Oh, Johnny again. True or false, does Christmas officially begin when Hans Gruber falls off Nakatomi Plaza? Translation is Die Hard, a Christmas movie.
Nada.
I know it's a tough one. I watch it around Christmas, and I feel it's a personal preference.
Mm-hmm.
That I do like watching around Christmas because I think it's just funny. That it takes place around Christmas, but it doesn't have the feel of a Christmas movie. So yeah, it doesn't officially start. Christmas officially starts for me when I watch Muppet Christmas Carol.
Yeah.
That's when it starts for me.
And Christmas movies, to me, bring out the feels. And if it doesn't bring out the feels, even if it's set during the Christmas time,
feels and laughs.
Yeah, feels and laughs.
But Holiday is not a good Christmas movie. And if someone tries to sit you down to watch it, don't watch it. Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
I watched that.
Okay, folks. Let me get a sip of water here. It is time for our annual reading of The Golden Girls, Twas the Night Before Christmas.
And Jonah and I are going to sit around like young kids looking up at Justin while he reads the book.
And Kenny right there. He looks so excited as
Kenny's
well.
Kenny's so pumped. Kenny's bouncing in his seat.
Folks, for those of you that may be new to listening, this is a tradition in honor of Big Ben. Was a huge fan of the Golden Girls, so much so that he was even able to get Sean Henry, the president and CEO of the National Predators, to exclaim what Golden Girl he is.
And he was Blanche,
by the
way.
Blanche, just like you,
in
right?
In case you forgot, yes.
In case you forgot. And I'm definitely more of a Dorothy. That's for
absolutely
sure.
Absolutely.
And I would definitely say Jonah is a rose.
100%.
100%.
All right, Kenny, you're Sophia.
Hey, you know, that's good. It means Kenny can cook.
I like that.
Yeah. All right, so here we go, folks. The Golden Girls, Twas the Night Before Christmas by Francesco Sedita and Douglas Yaka. Twas the night before Christmas and on Richmond Street, three girls decked the halls, and they made each room neat. Their children and siblings were soon to be there. Ma finished her famous lasagna with care. But a storm was a-comin', a hurricane nigh. The planes heading in were unable to fly. Outside the wind howled, a tree snapped a branch. Rose looked up in alarm. Holy cow, where's Blanche? Across town the men whooped, and they whistled to thank her, as Blanche jingled her bells at the old rusty anchor. While Ma in her sweatshirt and Dorothy in a vest had just settled down for a much-needed rest, Rose, snug with her teddy bear, laid down her head, while visions of St. Olaf danced in her head. All at once, through the rain came a curious sight, a round silhouette in the full moon's pale light. And from the porch came the voice of a man. The girls winced as they heard him say, "Hi, it's me, Stan." He was dressed up like Santa, but ragged and droopy. He'd lost all his money on fake reindeer poopy. His tale of woe made dear Rose start to cry, while Dorothy grimaced and gave the side eye. After years spent with Stanley, she knew in a flash the only holiday gift that he wanted was cash. Sophia cut in with a long-winded story. Picture it, Sicily, the year 1940. Something about a goat, linguine, and theft. Whatever it meant, it worked. Stan quickly left. A moment later, Blanche whirled through the front door. She was wet. She was cold. She was dressed like a... elf? Rogues explained that their families simply couldn't get there. "It's just rain," Blanche lamented. "How rude, I declare." So into the kitchen the four girls paraded, feeling down and depressed. The fridge quickly was raided. There were cookies and ice cream, hot cocoa to make, a salami or two, and three types of cheesecake. For hours the girls talked, and they laughed and they shared. It's likely a few flashback episodes aired. Then suddenly, like a true holiday spell, the girls realized they were all family as well. You could hear them exclaim as the day came to an end, "Merry Christmas, and thank you for being a friend." Folks, thank you so much for joining us over this past calendar year. We wish you all the best this holiday season. Be joyful, be thankful, spend time with your family and friends and those that matter to you, and take some time to relax and give your mind a break. You know, it's good to recharge and reset. And we just cannot thank you enough for all of your listeners, for all your listenership, and for just supporting us throughout all these years and wishing you a joyous holiday season. For producer Kenny, Jonah Story, Glenn Blackwell, this is Justin Bradford. Thank you so much for listening to Penalty Box Radio here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.